Well, I'm excited to begin a brand new sermon series here at the United Methodist Church of Whitefish Bay this morning, a sermon series called Exceeding Expectations. Exceeding expectations. Exceed, to go beyond a limit, to be greater than, to extend outside of, an expectation to consider probable or certain, to consider reasonable, due or necessary, to anticipate or look forward to the coming or occurrence of something. And so exceeding expectation, lives lived that can go beyond, can be lived greater than merely that which is anticipated. A love that is greater than what is just necessary. As individuals and collectively, as a community of faith and a global family, we are called to live lives that exceed expectation. And so that's where we begin this series, taking a look at lives that are lived in ways that exceed expectations. Years before Jesus was born, Horace said, "Life is largely a matter of expectation." Life is largely a matter of expectation. There's two different ways to look at that. There's two different ways to respond. Laura Moncur says, "I've decided that the key to happiness is low expectations." But then on the other side, the great golfer Jack Nicklaus says, "Achievement is largely the product of steadily raising one's levels of aspiration and expectation." And so friends, I'm here to tell you that we can live lives in a way that exceed expectations. From the days of the early church, people have been talking about this power that is ours. To the church in Ephesus, in Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 and 21, we hear these words, "Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen." I love that. Able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine. Exceeding expectations. But that brings it some questions with it. What do we have the right to expect out of life? What expectations have been placed upon you by others? What expectations have you placed upon yourself? Fritz Perls said, "I am not in this world to live up to other people's expectations, nor do I feel that the world must live up to mine," which leads to more questions. Let me ask this question of you. Which would you wish for those that you love most? That they have low expectations placed upon them and they exceed all of them? Or that they have extremely high expectations placed upon them that they can come close to realizing but just never get beyond them? Which would you choose? Why is that your choice? As people of faith, as God's people, we have a different set of expectations, individually, yes, but also very much collectively, a different set of expectations that come from a much higher source. Jesus was trying to explain to those who were listening to him exactly why he was here, and he talks about thieves that come only to kill and steal and destroy. But in the second half of John 10, verse 10, Jesus says, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." To have life and have it to the full, some accounts say, so that they could live life to the fullest, life in all its fullest. Paul and Peter and the early church continued to talk about this as being possible for us. In the second letter of Peter, chapter 1, verses 3 through 11, we hear these words, "By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who calls us to himself by the means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share in his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. In view of all of this, make every effort to respond to God's promises. Supplement your faith with a generous provision of moral excellence, and moral excellence with knowledge, and knowledge with self-control, and self-control with patient endurance, and patient endurance with godliness, and godliness with brotherly affection, and brotherly affection with love for everyone. The more you grow like this, the more productive and useful you will be in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But those who fail to develop in this way are short-sighted or blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their old sins. And so this reading ends by saying, so, dear brothers and sisters, work hard to prove that you really are among those God has called and chosen. Do these things and you will never fall away. Then God will give you a grand entrance into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. By divine power, God has given us everything we need to live lives that exceed expectations. But when we do the difficult work of looking inward, trying to understand our relationship with our world and our relationship with God, we know that that old quote rings true, that quote that says, what you allow is what will continue. What are the things that we are allowing that keep us short of expectations, certainly not even exceeding them? We want to live lives that exceed expectation, but we don't know how. And so that's why there is this self-help industry that generates millions and millions, if not billions, of dollars. And even within the Christian genre, there are self-help books with titles such as Your Best Life Now or Think Better, Live Better. Norman Vincent Peale said, if you paint in your mind a picture of bright and happy expectations, you put yourself into a condition conducive to your goal. One of the things I lament about so many of these self-help Christian books is that they're shallow. If you just think it, it'll happen. There is that one book that Joel Osteen wrote called Your Best Life Now, and he says it's easy to exceed expectations in your life. You begin by enlarging your vision. He writes, we must conceive it on the inside before we're ever going to receive it on the outside. Your own wrong thinking can keep you from God's best. He says, do it by developing a healthy self-image. You'll never rise above the image you have of yourself in your own mind, he wrote. Do it by discovering the power of your thoughts and words. He writes, we can choose our thoughts. Nobody can make us think about something. You and you alone decide what you will entertain in your mind. He writes, to live your best life now, to exceed expectations, we need to let go of the past. Muster up enough courage to say, God, I don't understand it, but I trust you. And I'm not going to spend all my time trying to figure out why certain things have happened. I'm going to trust you to make something good out of it. You are a good God, and I know you have my best interests at heart. And then, as is the case and the source of so much criticism of prosperity gospel, he writes, live to give. Live to give. Everything God has given you is meant to be shared with others. But he writes, the Bible says, give generously, for your gifts will be returned to you later. Divide your gifts among many, for in the days ahead, you yourself may need such help. The summary of this kind of self-help book says, to be the best you can, you must rid yourself of negative mindsets that are holding you back. Enlarge your vision, seeing yourself as doing more, enjoying more, and being more. I much prefer the approach John Ortberg, a pastor in Menlo, California. I like his book. He wrote a book called The Life You've Always Wanted, to exceed expectations. But for him, the key is spiritual disciplines. Spiritual disciplines. And a spiritual discipline is any activity that can help you gain power to live life as Jesus taught and as Jesus modeled it. Our journey here on this earth is to become Christ-like, to become more like Jesus. And this transformation is our hope. Our God says to us, you are not yet what you will be. But as Soren Kierkegaard said so many years ago, with God's help, we will become ourselves. With God's help, we will become ourselves. How do we live lives that exceed expectation? Well, I maybe stumbled upon one answer on my trip to North Carolina. Many of you know what the North Carolina license plate is. It says, first in flight. And although the Wright brothers were from the state of Ohio, they determined that Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, and I stayed just a few miles north of Kitty Hawk this last 2 weeks, there is that Kitty Hawk monument, that was the place that was most conducive to flight. But this trip, I saw two different North Carolina license plates. The first one said, first in freedom. And the second one had on it, to be rather than to seem. And so I did what all of us would do. I Googled it. Why is this what's on the license plates of North Carolina? And I don't know if you're going to be able to see this quite as well, but this is the Great Seal of the State of North Carolina. And on it, there are two dates, May 20th, 1775, April 12th, 1776. And then right here, there is three words, esse quam videri. Esse quam videri, which means to be rather than to seem. You see, they say first in freedom because on May 20th, 1775 was the signing of the Mecklenburg Declaration. It made them the first state, sorry Rhode Island, to declare independence from Great Britain, something that the whole state adopted on April 12th, 1776. To be rather than to seem. To be or not to be, that is the question. But friends, to be rather than to seem is the answer. It is a commitment to journey towards authenticity. It is a journey and who God has created you to be. It is to claim our place as children of God, created in the image of God, redeemed through the love and grace of Jesus Christ, whose power is at work in us through the Holy Spirit, which enables us to exceed the expectations that we place upon ourselves. And so I always say, here's the sentence of truth. If someone says, what was the point of Pastor Matt's message? This is it. Once we are actualized as the person God wants and needs us to be, then we can live beyond all expectations. We can exceed the expectations. And so I encourage you to follow Ortberg's advice, to draw near to those spiritual disciplines, to worship, to read your Bible, to study, to pray, to be in Christian fellowship, to find times to deny yourself of certain things that you take for granted, to be rather than to seem. Because Jesus himself has told us that he came that we might have life to the fullest, an abundant life, a life that can exceed expectations. And so I want to come full circle and end once again with what Paul wrote to the church in Ephesus. Now to him who by the power at work within us is able to accomplish abundantly far more than all we can ask or imagine, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. And let the church say, amen.